Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good to see all y'all. If you want to know why I've got a tie on this morning, ask me afterwards. There is a story. We're not in the book of Deuteronomy today. We are in the book of Peter. And if you want to have your Bibles open at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, that wouldn't hurt either. But we're going to be talking about elders this morning. And our whole concept of talking about elders, whoops, I hit the button too much. The whole concept of where we're at is because we're on the verge of, is it on?
That is.
Says it's on here. If it's not, just open your ears because I think I speak loud enough. But anyway, we are in the final stages of looking at a whole process of identifying and affirming elders in our congregation, and God has blessed us beyond the imaginations of several people from the time that I first came, and I've been astounded at how God has worked in the lives of different people, and so that is so exciting to see. But as we look at this whole concept of leadership or elders within our congregation, I think there's some things that we need to recognize on the front end. And I think it's important that we talk about these things as we launch into this new venture in the journey of us as a congregation of people. I think leaders and congregation as a whole, when we look at the big concept of what Christianity is all about, we have to see and understand that Jesus made simple things the priorities of what Christianity is all about. He speaks about love, life, and loyalty, and maybe we can translate that into newness and wholeness and fullness, and maybe there's other synonyms that you want to put in there, but fundamentally God is calling us to a healthy life as a family of His people that assemble in a specific place. And as the priorities of leadership, these essential components are that which allows a congregation to be faithful and to grow. And so that's important that we understand that. And so spiritual leadership involves a whole lot of different things. And sometimes we look at the leadership of our world, and we look out there and we say, oh no, I hope the leadership in our congregation is not like that in the world. And yet at the same time, we recognize that even within the world, there are some components of that leadership that are fundamental to what Christianity is all about. And in fact, if the world had a look at us and be influenced by us, rather than us being influenced by the world, we'd all be in a better place. But we look at that, and so leadership, spiritual leadership, has some very, very distinctive qualities or attributes or characteristics that I think is important that we understand both as a congregation and as those of us who would see ourselves as leaders. And when I'm talking about leaders in this general sense, I would really like you to understand that every one of us, to a large degree, are a leader to someone in some capacity. And so the principles that I'm going to be speaking about this morning are principles that apply to all of us, not just to church leaders. But if you are a parent, if you are an aunt or an uncle or an aunt or an uncle, you know, I always figured aunts have multiple legs, you know, aunts have two legs. But anyway, however you all want to pronounce that, that's fine. But if you're a grandparent, or if you're somebody who's older than someone else, and someone looks to you for guidance and encouragement, then you are, as a Christian, a leader. You are leading them some way, because people look at you and they take a feather out of your cap and follow on. And so over the Over the years that I've been in ministry, and I haven't been there as long as Herman has, I've been in ministry for probably 43, 44 years now. And over that period of time, I have seen and been a part of praying with and working with elders in most all of that time. And more recently, in the last 10 or 12 years, my brother and I have developed a program where we develop spiritual leaders in Africa, and that has been an absolute blessing to see as that has emerged and just flourished. But over that period of time, I spent a lot of time praying and reading and studying and looking at this whole concept of spiritual leadership. And I believe that there are at least five, and some of you may contest that, and that's fine, but I believe there are at least five qualities that are consistent with spiritual leadership, no matter what format it's found in. And so I'd like to just talk about those a little bit briefly this morning, and then I'd like to go over with you where we're going as a congregation over the next several weeks, in fact, probably the next couple of months. And so, as we look at this whole concept of spiritual leadership, and I use the word spiritual because I was reminded just recently that as we're looking at elders, elders are the spiritual leaders. They're not just leaders and lead everything. And so I need to make that clarification, and I need you to understand that that is what I'm talking about. And so the first thing that we see in any form of spiritual leadership is that a spiritual leader's task, and I think this is foundational to everything, is to move people from where they are to where God wants them to be. John alluded to that this morning in his class, and we see that over and over again. But if you are going to be spiritual leaders in any capacity, we need to understand that fundamentally our responsibility is to be used of God to help other people walk closer to God. You know, none of us are where we want to be spiritually, are we? If you think that you've arrived and you don't need to do any more praying or any more studying or any more changing in your life, then you and I need to sit down and have a serious talk. Because you missed the boat. Christianity is about growth and it's about development. And our spiritual leaders need to understand God's will in order for them to be able to share God's will with other people. And they need to be able to understand that I am a tool of God, irrespective of who you are. And people who fail to move people towards God and towards God's agenda are not being led by spiritual people. Excuse me. All of us need to be exhorted. All of us need to be encouraged. I don't know whose glass of water this is here, but it's getting down. I don't know how long it's been there. I had to wipe the top off. We look at the world, and we see that leadership reveals a sort of concept that says that people need to be cajoled, or they need to be pleaded with, or they need to be bullied, and if they haven't been manipulated or pushed into this criteria or to this corridor or to live a life this way or that way, then they haven't adjusted to the things of God. Thank you. I'm afraid that would make everybody salivate if I had to eat that. I appreciate that. Thank you. And so, if we kind of get back on track in terms of what I'm talking about right here, is the fact that a spiritual leader's task really is to move people into God's agenda, not their own agenda. To move people into a way where they can grow and develop within the confines of Christ and His will in our lives. And so that is foundational to any spiritual leadership. The second thing that we need to look at is the fact that spiritual leaders become dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It's not that we don't worry about anything else or that we just are totally, solely dependent on the Holy Spirit. But it seems like in the world that we're living today, and my impression is that we become so more dependent upon my knowledge and understanding of Scripture. And we're so quick to say, well, you know, you just have to look at this passage of Scripture. This is what the Bible says, and that's what we say. And it's based upon my understanding of what God says. And in reality, what happens, we elevate my knowledge on Scripture above everything else. And so that's the contrast that I want you to understand, and I want you to look at. My knowledge does not surpass the power of God or His Spirit in my life. I do not believe that His Spirit would allow me or manipulate me or move me or whatever term you want to use there to do something that it would be in direct contrast or conflict with what He reveals through His Word in terms of people. But my dependency is on the Spirit of God because I am not complete in and of by myself any more than anyone else's. And when people's elevated view of their knowledge is that which drives them, arrogance and pride are the issues that they need to deal with. And so the second thing we really need to look at is the fact that the Spirit leads people to bring about spiritual growth in others. The third thing that we need to see is that spiritual leaders are accountable to God. Oftentimes when we look at leadership in the world in particular, but sometimes too often in the church also, once somebody becomes an elder, they think, oh, well, that's it. I'm not accountable to anybody now. Or I'm just accountable to another elder and nobody can tell me what to do because I have all authority and I'm the one that's responsible for everything. The man or the woman or the person who feels like they are not accountable to anybody else really has an issue with pride. Anytime anybody steps into the arena of spiritual leadership, you are always going to be criticized. There will always be somebody who will tell you how you can better do what you're doing. And if we're not willing to be accountable to someone to help change and bring about the change in our lives that would honor God, then we are a law unto ourselves. And so spiritual leadership demands that people are willing to be accountable to others so that they can become more complete in Christ. The fourth thing that we see is that spiritual leaders can influence all people. Not just people in the church. And so many times I hear people say, well, you know, if I'm a leader in the church, I don't have any jurisdiction, or I don't have any responsibility, or I don't have any influence in the world outside. Well, how absolutely wrong is that when God's purpose for mankind right from the beginning has always been that we become a reflection of God to the nations, to the community, to the world that is around us. And so when I just put on my Christian persona, when I walk through the doors of a church building, we have totally missed the boat. Spiritual leadership demands that we are aware of the fact that God indwells me and I am a representation of God no matter where I go 24/7. Now that in and of itself would make me think about where I go, how I behave, what clothes I wear, what my language is, and so on and on and on. And we can look at all of the different aspects that the Bible speaks about spiritual leaders. And so spiritual leaders don't just influence people in the church, but they influence everyone. And then the last thing that I have seen that is consistent with spiritual leadership is that spiritual leaders work on God's agenda. Not on their own agenda. Not on a concept that says, okay, well now that, you know, I'm in charge and I'm the boss of this little outfit and so people are going to do what I want to do. But rather it's all an idea of looking to God, because God's agenda is our agenda. And the purposes of God need to be foremost in a leader's mind as they direct and help encourage people to become the type of people that God wants them to be. Pursuing God's agenda becomes of paramount importance to spiritual leaders if they're going to lead others along that same agenda. If they don't know where they're going, how in the world are they going to be able to encourage somebody else to go down on the same road that they are? And so when we look at these things, we understand that leadership and spiritual leadership is critical to who we are. And I don't want to take a whole lot of time talking about this, because our Bible classes on Sunday morning, I encourage you to be a part of those. We're looking at questions all pertaining to the spiritual dimensions of elders and leadership, and I encourage you to be a part of those. Because it's important that we as a congregation understand the same things that the men who we would have as our spiritual leaders have as their agenda. That we need to be on the same page. And so it seems to me that all too often people assume that along with the responsibilities of leaders, of spiritual leaders, they become elders, and once they become an elder, that determines that they know what needs to be done and how it needs to be done and when it needs to be done. Just all of a sudden, miraculously, because they're given a title or a position, as I hear it spoken about. And by the way, I believe the Bible talks about it as a ministry, not as a position or a title, but as a ministry, the same as any other ministry. It's a role and a function that God has pointed to those individuals to be a part of because of their relationship with Him. And so all too often people think, oh, well, the elders are going to do everything. Now that we have elders, we can sit back and twiddle our thumbs, and they're going to take care of the air condition, they're going to take care of the finance, they'll take care of cleaning the carpets, they'll take care of making any decision that anybody's going to do anything, that it has to be vetoed by the elders. Beloved, I suggest to you that certainly in my tenure in this congregation, we have done some pretty significant things to honor God without elders. And I believe we can continue to do those things with elders. And the role of elders is a spiritual role, not a functional role in terms of daily agenda and ministry direction per se. If the elders take control of everything, then unless it's done the way that they want it to be done, it's wrong. And we get into this whole argument of concept that becomes so caustic. It's my way or the highway. And that is not the identity of God's people. And elders who think that they're going to run everything develop aggressive goals, aggressive in terms of their minds and things that they want to do. And they dream these grandiose dreams, and they think this is what's going to happen, and unless it's done my way, in my time, and the way that I think it needs to be done, is wrong. They develop these unrealistic dreams and visions. And when they do all of these things, they sit down and then they pray to God that God would join them, and listen to my words, that God would join them in their agenda. And they've got the horse before the cart. See, it's God's agenda. We all belong to God. We're God's people. And spiritual leadership guides us and nudges us to fulfill spiritual ambitions. And that's the role of a spiritual leadership. That uniqueness that is undergirded with love and concern and humility and patience is that which attracts people to be a part of who we are. And it starts with our leadership. And so today we begin our final stages of our effort to identify and affirm those who will be the spiritual leaders, the shepherds, the elders, the overseers, whatever term you want to put in there that is a biblical term, to our spiritual family that meets here in Warrensburg. Our concern is for our family here, not for the entire brotherhood, not for the congregations that meet across the road or down the road or in the next county or in a different state, but our concern is what we do here, because this is our family and this is who God has assembled and put together. And so we desire to begin the final stages of this process with prayer. Because prayer is fundamental to who we are. And the Bible speaks about prayer and fasting, and we've spoken about that a couple of times over the last several weeks. And people kind of get choked up and they say, oh, we need to fast. You know, I can't fast. You know, I'm diabetic, or, you know, I can't do without my food. Well, we need to go back and look at Scripture. And John tells me that he's going to be talking about fasting in the next week or two. So, you know, heads up to that. You know, fasting is the abstention of something that you regularly do that you can quit doing for a period of time so that you can focus your attention on God. Doesn't have to be food. More often it is, but it could be anything that you regularly do that you decide, I'm not going to do that today because I want to focus on the things of God. And so we want to start off this whole process with prayer. There are sign-up sheets that are in the foyer on the table. We've circulated some of them already. They're on the bulletin boards out there. We encourage you to sign up for a 15-minute period of prayer and fasting if you so desire. On the back of your handouts this morning, there are some suggestions with some scriptures and some prayer suggestions that you can engage in over a 15-minute period. We're not going to have somebody call you and tell you it's your time to pray. We trust that you make a commitment to God and you will pray in the time that you select to pray. Doesn't matter where you are, God hears our prayers anyway. And so we will start at 7 o'clock in the morning. We'll go through the whole day, conclude that at 7 o'clock in the evening. And Molly will send out a one call now message later on in that afternoon to remind everybody that that evening we're going to be praying collectively as a congregation from about 7 o'clock until 7:30. That people would be focused on praying about what we're doing here as a congregation. In conjunction with that, starting today, you've already maybe picked up some nomination forms, and is this not working? And those nomination forms are out there in the foyer. If you haven't yet got one, we encourage you to stop at the table there in the foyer and pick one up and turn it in to one of the administration team members. And I would ask them to stand, but I would embarrass them, and then I would be in trouble later on, and it's not worth it. But if you would hand those nominations either to George Lips, to Ethan Arias back there, Ethan Morrison, the young man who led our singing today, Deb Rice or Molly Dinwiddie, we would be delighted for you to hand those in, and we need to collect them in before the 19th of this month, which is a Wednesday week away. And then after that nomination process, when we look at all of these things and we've engaged in continued prayer and looked at who we are and solicited God's guidance for us as we go through this process, then we'll enter into another phase of where we're at. All of those nominations will be processed by the administration committee, and all of those people who are nominated, whose names are, by the way, when you're nominating somebody, there's about 8 spaces on that nomination form. You don't have to put 8 names down. You know, if you just think there's 1 or 2 people that you'd like to nominate, then you just put those down. You know, you don't just go write anybody. You know, write the names of people who you believe would serve well as elders in this congregation. And then we will process those, and our process will involve a simple telephone call to each of those individuals, asking them if they desire to serve as an elder in this congregation. If they say no, their names will not be included in any further process. If they say yes, then they will be given the next part of where we're at, which is an introspective questionnaire. That kind of looks like this. There's a total of 26 questions on there. There's only two up on the screen. But what that questionnaire is designed to do is designed to reveal the spiritual content of that individual's beliefs and convictions. And once they fill that in and handed it back into the administration team, then the administration team will, and I say process that, they're not going to change anything that is written, but they'll put it in a format that is consistently similar to everybody's, and they will edit it for grammatical and spelling mistakes, and maybe I'm speaking about my own agenda, and it'll be edited, it'll be handed back to those individuals, and once they have approved it, then it'll be distributed to the whole congregation so people can read and understand more clearly who these individuals are. If they have any questions referring to any of the comments that are made, you're absolutely free to contact those individuals and speak to them privately and individually about that. Together with that, we will be handing out a biblical examination form that'll be something like this. And on that form, it's very critical that we understand that. And there'll be places where you can write the names of the different elders that are presented. Or in fact, if I remember correctly, we said we were going to include the names of all of the people on this form before we distribute it. And it'll be distributed, and you can say, you know, yes, you agree with them, no, you don't, or maybe you don't know enough. But here's an opportunity for you, if you know of something from a spiritual, scriptural perspective that you believe would prohibit that individual from serving, then we ask you to write that down. The reason and the passage of Scripture with it. If there's not enough room on this form, you can use the back side of it, or you can use as many pages as you feel like you need to use to express yourself clearly. If you have concerns with more than one of these individuals, then write their names down and clearly identify where it is. Once you have done that, sign your name on the bottom. If you don't sign your name, and there's no name on any of those forms that are turned in, we will not even read them. They will go straight into file 13. Once they have been, once the time period for that examination is concluded, then the administration team will process all of that information, will contact the individuals who shared those concerns, will visit with them to make sure that we understand correctly what the issues are, and then at least two of the administration team, together with the individual who has those concerns, will set up a meeting to talk face-to-face with the prospective elder about those concerns. Lord willing, those issues will be able to be resolved, and if they are resolved, we'll move on. If they're not, well then we'll determine as the time comes what needs to happen. This part of the whole process will be held extremely confidential. And we don't desire for any of this information to get out to anybody. And so we need to emphasize that. Following that, after that period of time, the next part of the process will be the elder affirmation ballot. And here we will mail these ballots out to all of the members of this congregation. And we will ask those people if they affirm the men who have been vetted by the process as elders. And say, for instance, there's at least two, maybe there's three or four or five, however many men are vetted as elders, their names will be included on here, and you will be asked, do you affirm these men to be elders. And so we're not asking you to vote on individual people, but we're asking you if you agree that these men would represent our congregation as elders. And there's a space there for you to say yes, no, or I don't know, and sign your name. And then the next question, which we feel is really, really important, is, am I willing to follow the spiritual leadership of these elders? And if we're not willing to follow the leadership of our elders, then why have elders? And part of the issue here, and we've had several discussions about this, and we decided that probably the best thing that we could do as a team, as an administration team, is to sit down with the men whose names are the proposed elders and ask them, what percentage of vote do you think would be appropriate for you to be able to accept the role and the ministry of elder in this congregation? You know, and if they say 20% or 80% or 90% or 10%, whatever they say, that is the percentage that we will use. And when these votes are responded, because we're not naive, you know, not everybody's going to agree with everything that we do. We would like that the vast majority would by this time. But at that particular time, then we would determine, you would be able to write down there, I'm willing to follow the spiritual leadership of this eldership and sign your name. And based on that, if there's no other issues that we need to do, then we will affirm these men as the elders in our congregation. And that affirmation process, we haven't put a timeline on that. If you look at the timeline that's on the back of the outline process that is out on the foyer there, you know, it's left open there because we don't know how long that'll take us. It may be a short period of time, it may not. We figured maybe 2 or 3 weeks at most. And if that's the case, then Lord willing, we may affirm our elders in the last week of this year or the first week of next year. So that's the process. But more than anything else, as we look at this and as we continue to grow and as God continues to bless us, we believe it is critically important that we bathe all of this in prayer. Prayer is a critical part of who we are. And so, as we look at these things, I pray that you would participate with us in prayer, that you would be honest, and that you would be upfront in who you are, and that you would act in a loving, caring way that would reveal the Spirit of God in each one of us. I believe the point that we're at as a congregation is a critical point in our history. And so I really am excited and encouraged by where we are. I know it's been a long time in coming. We started this process back in March of this year. And we didn't want to run into it quickly. We want to give everybody an opportunity to pray about it, to examine the scriptures, to talk to different people about it, and to figure out where we're going. We're a family. And because we're family, we do things as a family. And we're transparent. We don't do things behind closed doors. We have no secret meetings. Everything that we do is out in the open. And we want you to be aware of that. And so this morning, I'd like to go back and read the same passage of scripture that Eric read for us at the beginning of our time this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. Many of us, most all of us, should be very familiar with the passages of scripture that talk about the qualities or the qualifications of elders. But one of the greatest problems that we seem to have as a brotherhood of people is we understand what it takes to be an individual. But what do elders do? That seems to be the biggest question. So 1 Peter chapter 5, I think, is one of those passages that really alludes to a lot of the things that we've spoken about. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You, young men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. May God bless us as we move forward in this process. May God continue to enrich us. May God continue to lead us and guide us in His Word. Just as we are called to submit ourselves to Him independently, so we're called to submit ourselves to one another in love. And so God's call for us is generic and very, very specific. Before we extend an opportunity for those of you who may want to respond in any way this morning, whether it's for us to pray for you or whether it's to submit yourself to Christ or whatever it is, I'd like to ask you if you would bow with me as we go to our Father in prayer about this whole process. Father God, we stand before you humbled because of the incredible way that you have caused us to grow, not only collectively as a body of people, but privately as individuals. Father, our maturity is because of you and your presence in our lives. So, Father, we submit ourselves to you. And we pray, Father, for courage to be obedient to the things that you call us to be and to do. And, Father, as we collectively appeal to you for guidance to identify and affirm men from among us who would serve us as spiritual leaders, Father, we pray that you would continue to mold their hearts and their minds, that you would continue to mold the lives of their wives and families, that, Father, they would be a people through whom we can see Christ. So guide us, Father. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us understanding. And above all, Father, give us a heart of love and humility that reflects Jesus through our own lives. We pray, Father, for your blessings on us as a congregation of your people. And we ask, Father, for your continued guidance in